Good evening, everybody, as we recover from the most monumental episode ever for the X-Men 97 and the continuum before that. Remember it. We have Life Death Part 2. I'm here today with the illustrious, magnanimous, self-amazing creator of Spider-Man himself. Not really, but I wish he was. We'd be rich.
Yes, indeed.
My government brother! Woo! How you doing?
All right. Thanks for asking.
Good. So, what do you want to talk about?
The Bolshevik Revolution in Russia and the state-sponsored assassination of the family, whatever last name Anastasia's family was. Yeah.
The Romanovs. Romanovs, yes.
Okay.
And they had Rasputin. Rasputin, yes. Yes. Who was a crazy witch doctor who claimed to have many lives. But, speaking of killing it and doing a revolution, X-Men 97... it's been killing it every single episode. You're like the heartbreak kid. X-Men 97 lays down for nobody. So what are your thoughts?
Great episode, as you said. I mean, this resurgent season has, you know, surpassed expectations. As I said before, and I'll say a billion times, the fact that this product has been so good when people have been waiting and building a nostalgia hill in their minds of expectations if something like this were to happen. And they've been able to meet it. They've been able to deliver on it. You know, like, you know, all the internet's all alive. Like, maybe we'll get the Spider-Man final season where they get Mary Jane. You know, like, people want more of this. You know, if it's gonna be
nobody wants Spider-Man the last season. That was a dumpster fire. He met Stan Lee. I mean, yes, I get it. We do the fourth wall and everything, but that show had went crazy. Spider-Man was, Green Lantern was stuck in another universe.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Did I say Green Lantern? I'm sorry. Wrong universe entirely. Green Goblin. As he saw Mary Jane, who we think is Mary Jane.
We got the clone saga.
We did get the clone saga.
With Mary Jane clones instead of Gwen.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I thought it was interesting. I mean, we got Hydro-Man in that series. I mean, so I guess, yeah, why not? Bring back Spider-Man. You know, let's get a proper another season. Okay.
Which is, which you mentioned that, like, that she was not only a clone of Mary Jane, but she was a water-based clone?
That's correct. Water-based clone. So, I need to know, who's the real Mary Jane? What happened to her?
She got trapped in that, in one of the, portal thingies, and, you know, Mary Jane!
Those episodes were quite good. I mean, that Spider-Man, he was able to emote so much, like, vocal emotions, like, acting. Shocker, I'm gonna just follow you to the ends of the universe! And then when Spider-Man got the black suit and he was attacking Rhino, he decided not to kill Rhino. So, I mean, it's just so much gravitas. And then Kingpin, fantastic voice talent. I mean, just
my size, dog. I have the agility of a cat.
So, I definitely would like to miss. I would be interested in a redo of the X-Men, a relaunch of Spider-Man, I guess, 90, it would be 98. So why not? It'll be interesting. Well, so yeah, let's do it. Let's bring back the Fantastic Four series. Let's bring it all back. Let's bring it all back as long as Boldemayo or somebody that loves Spider-Man or the Fantastic Four produces the show. But
all right, so Tom Hardy, you know, he was in Venom, so that's basically Spider-Man, right?
Venom number one was quite good. It was a formidable show. A very good movie. However, the Venom 2 was a complete and total waste of actors' talents and story art. You brought in Woody Harrelson as Venom, as Carnage. Yes, I didn't mind the casting, but they just butchered it so much. And again, you can't have Carnage without Spider-Man. That's just my opinion. It was just a very cheesy movie. You introduced Streak. I was actually so excited that they introduced Streak. They bastardized that. It was horrible. One of the worst lucrative films that ever has been made. Why did I go see this film? Because it's a Marvel film. But then people have caught on. Don't go see Sony-produced Spider-Man films. It's not produced also by Kevin Feige.
Wait, are you saying that we should be cautious about Kraven the Hunter?
Yes, you should. Because Kraven the Hunter, it's not exciting without Spider-Man. Or...
What are you talking about? This is top three villains. You've got Goblin, Doc Ock, and then Kraven, obviously.
But it's not like I want to see young Sheldon as Doc Ock. I mean, I don't want to see Doc Ock movie. I mean, it's not something exciting to me. Unless you're going to make... who's the actor who played Hannibal Lecter?
Hans Mikkelsen?
No. Who played Thor's father?
Oh, Anthony Hopkins.
And if we can make Anthony Hopkins like 30 years younger, let's make him as Doc Octopus. We can do that. So, okay. That would be interesting. But I'm not a proponent of villain-led one-shot movies. It did not work with Catwoman. Yes, I know it worked with The Joker. I'm not sure about The Joker 2. It's a dance musical. I know it's going to probably make money, but it's like,
Wait, you're making Sweeney Todd the Joker version?
Yeah, The Joker's going to be a musical. If you've not seen the trailer, I encourage you to do some homework on that. It's quite interesting. Before we get into our review of the episode, speaking of, I'm talking about emoting talent and just acting, we saw the sequel to King Kong and Godzilla. I mean, it was pretty good. It was, King Kong had no lines, and he was able to emote how he was feeling. I mean, it was quite interesting. And then they had Mothra, and they had a baby Kong. And this baby Kong was just so... He was treacherous. He was like, bit King Kong on the finger, and King Kong said, like, I'm King Kong, and I'm going to just have to throw you around, sir, because I'm the only Kong in here. And so I thought it was very interesting. King Kong got a mecha hand. So if you need a good escapism movie, definitely go see the new King Kong Godzilla crossover movie.
Well, so technically he wasn't King Kong until this movie, you know, because he found a kingdom. You know,
this is true. So technically he's just Kong.
Right.
So technically he's Kong. So really it's Kong. So okay, if I have to be specific, Kong. Kong was good. Yeah, so
Kong X Godzilla, a new empire. Was it the Hidden Empire? Something Empire.
Yes, and I just thought it was very interesting. You see all the Kaijira, all the other monsters. So it was good. It was quite enjoyable. Good escapism. So if you have a few moments, if you understand this movie's not going to get an Academy Award, go see this movie. This is how... And it's not that Kong Godzilla is on the same level as John Wick, but John Wick had no lines either. He had like 20 words in the last John Wick film. So you can make a movie and not have a great movie and not have a whole bunch of dialogue. It does work. It does work. So so definitely. So I guess.
But there were people talking around John Wick, you know, as opposed to, you know, the human characters really don't matter when it's monster fights, you know, it's monster fights. And they're very nice monster fights, you know, like if you would have taken somebody back in the day who had to, you know, and you know, see people in costumes with sparks flying, masquerading as, you know, Rodan and you know, Mothra and Godzilla, and now all of a sudden it's like, wait, where's the person? There's no costume. It's just, it's all computers generating those images. It's like, wow, man, it looks like an actual ape, and it looks like Godzilla, and well, right, Godzilla was just like, oh, OP, please nerf. I mean, like, he comes in, and once the atomic breath comes out, the fight's over. I mean, unless you're lucky enough to die, he basically was Darkseid. Like, if you get Omega sanctioned, you're done, unless you're Superman or a small list of people who are capable of tanking an Omega beam, or, you know, Batman in the animated series where he was able to dodge it. You know, it's like, it's, you know, like just atomic breath for the win, KO. That's all she wrote. It's the Hollywood leg drop of monster maneuvers.
Yes, it was quite good. So I definitely, I would give, just for the escapism, I give it definitely an 8 or a 9 for escapism. Just, hey, let's turn the brain off. Let's just watch an interesting movie about Hollow Earth. So, you know, pretty interesting. So definitely go see the new Kong Godzilla flick. And, yeah, go for it. But,
and speaking of expressiveness, like the part where he has to recruit Godzilla and he's just like, hey, man, I don't want any trouble. Like, you just kind of, can you go down the hole, please? Hey, man. And like, I don't want these hands, bro.
Yeah, so definitely some good emoting of emotions through nonverbal cues. So that's really cool. Very, very, very cool. So, I guess we should kind of finish up an amazing X-Men review. I would give this episode 2 thumbs up. That's great. Loved it. They kind of tied up. You want to talk about Storm and Forge as far as your thoughts?
Well, yeah, they are referencing their romance from the comics that was part of the 90s. Or it might have been the 80s. I can't remember. But they had a romance, and it's, you know, the one thing you can say as a criticism is that it's a bit rushed. You know, we have no idea how long they've been together, and they just seem very, like, very much in love despite that brief time. You know, they had a Disney romance, you know, where it's just, you know, hey, like, the Beast kidnapped me and forced me to live in his castle, and over the course of a few weeks, I was like, you know what, dude, I think I'm in love with this dude. And it's like, hey, that's kind of messed up. But, you know, it's Disney. So anyways, I liked it. You know, like, that criticism is inescapable, but, like, what are you going to do? I like them together. They seem like a cute couple. And, well, I mean, it's Storm. You know, she's Storm. One thing I did mention when it happened was, spoilers, her return of her powers afterwards. She spent a good few moments just enjoying connecting to the elements again and flying and making twisters. And I'm sitting there telling my brother, like, hey, Forge is kind of dying in that case. maybe she should get back. Maybe she should, you know, she's doing this side quest here. But, you know, the main mission, the timer is going down towards zero. And you know, all you had to do was follow the train, CJ. You know, like, that's a San Andreas reference right there to an annoying mission where you and Big Smoke had to kill, the locals or some
rival game. God, I love that guy. That was a great game.
And they were on top of the train, and so you had to keep pace with the train while Big Smoke shot them. But it was really difficult because, you know, a train is a lot faster than a bike. You know, so you know, there were ways to make it a lot easier on yourself, which you can find on the internet. You just have to drive ahead of the train, and there's a structure near the tracks that you can used so that you can just drive on top of the train, and then you're just on the top of the train, and Big Smoke can much more easily shoot the people, and it makes the mission a lot easier. But anyways, yeah, so sure, her, like, taking a scenic route to Saving Forge was kind of funny to me. Another thing that, you know, when we see Forge, he's on, you know, first, he's on the bed, and his wound is exposed, and, you know, she's trying to give him some water, and then there's the next scene, we see him bandaged, and so, like, so did he bandage himself? You know, because it made me start wondering, like, is that actually Forge? You know, because, like, what's going on here? But, like, it was, it just, he happened to be able to, A, get out of the bed, bandage himself, find his mother's spell book, and cast the spell, which had, you know, a light show very reminiscent of Doctor Strange. You know, that's a good synergy there. I like that. I like that a lot.
I did enjoy it because in the comics, he is a shaman. He does have the mystical art. So I'm really happy that they're embracing the comic book roots.
Since when? He denies that part of him.
Well, but he does know about it. So at least, you know, they used it.
Okay, you know? And we know about having Caribbean heritage, but we don't go talking like this now, you know. And when's the last time you cooked some curry goat, brother? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I made some curry chicken. Yes, oh. I made some curry chicken. I'm vibing. I'm moving. Caribbean cool. They can call me Caribbean cool.
What the heck is Caribbean cool?
I don't know. But
oh, okay. You're just making stuff
just
up.
Just making some things up because I am Caribbean cool. Yes, indeed. Yeah. But definitely enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed how Storm, once she got her powers, transferred her outfit magically, because she's a magical goddess, to the OP black outfit. Love it.
Black girl magic.
Yes, black girl magic. And you see, the as she transformed, she was the satellites were able to pick up her powers. So, interesting.
It's because she was in the upper atmosphere. Well, the way I took it was not that she was being picked up by satellites, but just that she was so high up that they used satellites as a reference for just how far into the upper atmosphere she was presently positioned.
Yeah, so that was quite impressive. I enjoyed how really that episode was also about overcoming your fear. Do not let fear control you. Fear can be the mind killer. So if you...
Was that Randy Orton?
No, that'd be Doom. But fear is the mind killer. And I believe that into life. So for the one or two people that are listening to this show, just remember, fear can be crippling. But if you conquer that fear, you can overcome anything. So let's overcome the fear. So I really thought that because he had a fear of being claustrophobia. But also it was the fear of, do I really have my power? But she was able to conquer that with the conversation with the adversary and just saying, you know what? I am Storm. Or like in this movie I used to watch, Jet Li played this character called Ulog. I'm Ulog! I'm nobody's itch. It was something else, but I'm not going to curse on this.
Well, you basically did it.
I mean, if you want to figure it out what he said, but yes. So,
well, the TV edit is like, I am nobody's boy.
This is true. That was a really good, that was a decent movie. Not great, it was good. So,
now, many moons before everything and everywhere and everything all at once.
Yes.
And the multiverse of madness, you had that multiversal tale. You know, that was predicated upon different versions of you interacting. So there was a pretty interesting premise. You know, like, I'm going to kill my other selves so that there's only one me. So in here, like, there's actually no, because it isn't an infinite multiverse. There's a finite other number of yous. And if you kill enough of them, you will obtain superhuman powers.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was quite interesting having that that fear. But yeah, Jet Li, that was a great movie back in the day.
Jason Statham had hair in that.
Like, he did. Yeah, kind of a long time ago. Man, I wish I had a time machine. I think about the ramifications of having a time machine and changing just a few things. And then I say, you know what? I wouldn't be doing a podcast with my government brother because I just changed two or three things in time and maybe there's something different just that could be off. So, you know what? Learn from your mistakes. If you do have a time machine, make sure that you're calculated with the changes because you may not like the changes that actually happen.
So I shouldn't allow Donald Trump to win $20 million when he's 6 years old?
I mean, there's that conundrum about do we take out Hitler as a baby or anything like that. I mean,
how did you go from Donald Trump to Hitler?
I mean, they're similar people.
Excuse me?
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
Okay, for folks that are political, I'm so sorry. Sorry for insulting Hitler. Sorry. Historically, though, we had some great, as we talk about all time. I was listening to the all time greatest despot. And you had Stalin, Lenin. You had this king from Spain who enslaved
Francisco
the whole. Yes, he enslaved all of the Congo, and he was a mean, mean man. His soldiers were really mean. So, yes. Some people be very selective as far as time travel. I've been trying to perfect time travel or even just mind transference. I mean,
okay, so like the butterfly effect?
Yes, because I can dream and I can see into the, I get dreams of the futures. I've been trying to communicate with myself and know when it happens so I can have the lottery so I can know to play it. So, you know, mind transference. So, but just still be careful.
That was a key plot point of Final Fantasy VIII, which had the unfortunate role of following up cult classic Final Fantasy VII. So there was a character known Elone who had the ability of putting your consciousness into the bodies of anybody else, but she had to have met them. So like you had to have met her, and then she can put your consciousness in just the other people's consciousness. So you had these segments where you would play as Laguna and his mates, and well, Laguna was the father of the main character, Squall. And then in the future, this Professor Odine would find out a way to make a machine to artificially send consciousnesses back. And that's how the main antagonist, Ultima Sia, was able to project her consciousness into the past or present. So
it took me a while to warm up to Final Fantasy VIII, but it was a fantastic game. I really enjoyed it. I loved the love affair between Squall and I don't know, I forget the female.
Renoa,
God, just that dance they had and just them going into space. It was just like, oh, wow, this is really good. So, fantastic, fantastic game. Really up there. So, yes. If all goes well in the time continuum, we're going to be going to see Final Fantasy VII, the musical at DSO. So, for folks that are ever visiting the city of Detroit, check out the DSO. It's great.
I didn't know that was a plan?
That's a plan, a surprise plan, no longer a surprise. But,
I can spoil your own surprise.
I did tell you this a few months ago.
I guess I forgot.
Yeah, you're in school. Give it up to my brother. He's in school. He has a new job, a new car. He's really making it. He has some dreams. So for folks that have dreams, never forget about your dream. So, yeah, so kudos to that. But back to the second half, or really first half.
Next Wednesday, we're going to go see a stand-up comic next Thursday evening. So, I mean, next Wednesday.
What comic is this?
We're going to go see Impressionist Frank Caliendo.
Oh, my God! We're going to go see Frank Caliendo?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
From Madden?
From Madden.
Oh, my God!
Well, he can't do Madden anymore. He got sued.
He got sued by who?
By Madden.
Madden's dead now.
His estate.
I don't care. I'll meet him and say, hey, can you give me a boom? Tough acting to that thing. Hey, man in the state, do not sue me for giving a boom. Tough acting to that thing. Boom. All right, that's news to me. I'm excited. We're gonna go see Frank Caliendo. Great. I'll make sure my calendar is clear. All right. Alrighty. So, also as part of Life Duff number 2, you had Charles Xavier's alive. He's alive in an Edsel suit. He can walk. He's in love. He's in love with Leandra. And, but the start of it was the Shi'ar attacking the Kree and Ronin and Accuser. They had Gladiator. He's still OP. He's great. But the real good mystery, they had Vulcan. They did not introduce him, but for folks that follow the comics, we know there's Vulcan. And for folks that do not know, because you might need to have a yellow, a cheap book.
A flow chart!
Because Vulcan is the brother of Scott Summers.
And Alex.
Yes. Oh, those Summers brothers. For those that do not know, could you explain who Vulcan is to all the X-Men fans out here?
Yes. So, many moons ago in the comics, the rumors began, the breadcrumbs were laid to the third Summers brother. And there is an issue where Mr. Sinister is talking to Scott, and he says, he's talking to Scott, and like, yes, anyways, your brother's like, brothers? I only have one. Yes, I misspoke. But fans said he didn't misspeak. He's a villain. Villains always know exactly what they're saying, and they don't misspeak. So it was obviously a hint that Mr. Sinister knew about the brother. And so there was this character, and then his name was Adam X, who was supposed to be it, but that ended up not happening. And
half-brother.
And then skip. And we get to this story. X-Men Deadly Genesis. And so Deadly Genesis was a retcon story. Now, you're automatically putting yourself in difficult waters here because a lot of times retcons do not go over well. Particularly this one, since it's a character assassination of Professor X. So let's dig in. So
before you say that, I am so over character assassination. Why do people always want to dig up dirt on things that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, they tried to get John Wayne. John Wayne's dead, for God's sake. But go ahead.
I think he burnt down a forest, or maybe that was Elvis. I remember somebody getting into a car accident and like almost burning down a forest. But anyway, so in Giant Size X-Men number 1, we get the debuts of a good chunk of some of the most iconic X-Men possible. You know, that's where we get Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Banshee, Sunfire, Thunderbird, Wolverine, and
Berserker Barrage. Go ahead.
And they were recruited by Professor X to rescue the original team of X-Men that got captured by the living island of Krakoa. The only one that escaped was Cyclops. Well, that was the late 70s, and it's not until like 2004-ish that we get Deadly Genesis, 2004, 2010, it's in that area. And it was established that, no, that was the second rescue team that Professor X recruited. The first rescue team involved the mutants, one of whom was Gabriel Summers. Now, it gets even more wonky because, which we'll get to later. So anyways, you get Gabriel, another team, and they go in there, and everybody except Gabriel is presumed dead, and they fail to get the team out, but they are able to get Cyclops. And so, you know, Gabriel's the brother of Scott, and when Scott finds out that not only does he have a new brother, but his brother just died, you know, he's just distraught, you know? And so Professor X says, well, he can't lead the team with this on him, so I'll just use my vast telepathic abilities to erase his memory of the knowledge that he has another brother. So that's no bueno. And so Gabriel's thing is that when the Summers family was traveling, they were found by a Shi'ar scout ship, and their ship was fired upon, or their ship, their plane was fired upon, and they were quickly running out of options. All the parachutes but one were burnt too. So they had to put Alex and Scott in that one remaining parachute and push them out the plane, hope for the best. So what was left was Corsair, Christopher Summers, and his wife. I don't know the wife's name. And so Daken shows up and rips baby Gabriel from her womb and puts him in slave pits after, like, aging him up to, like, be a teenager so that he can work the slave mines. So he doesn't have he has no childhood. He only knows servitude and bondage and pain, so he's very messed up because of that. Also, he's an Omega-level mutant with energy manipulation, so he's OP and he's crazy. So that's a bad combination. And so how he made it back to Earth is kind of like, I don't know, but it's just for the plot purposes, he made it back to Earth and found his way to Charles Xavier, who then recruited him to save his brother. And that didn't work out, and everybody was presumed dead, but he came back and was mad that everybody forgot about him, because Professor X is kind of a chotch sometimes. So, I was surprised when my brother said, go look at this teaser video for the next episode, because Gabriel, that's the story of Gabriel. So, cleaning that up is going to be kind of interesting. I mean, if they go with that storyline, then I can see how hard it's going to be for Professor X, because he just abandoned he just lost Lilandra as his bride because he wants to go back to Earth. And if he goes back to Earth and this comes to light about what he made people forget, then he's going to lose his ex-family as well. So he'll just kind of be lost and between two families, you know, that are just upset with him. So I'm assuming they're not going to go that negative, but we'll see. I mean, they've tried to pretty much adapt one-to-one a lot of these very complicated stories. Cable's clone parentage and the love story of Forge and Storm. So we shall see. But regardless of whether or not they go that heavy with the Gabriel's backstory, just want to say, this is a great episode. You know, we got to see Professor X, you know, front and center. They don't usually do that. You know, he's in the background. You know, the only reason that wasn't the case in the X-Men movies is because they paid the money to get Patrick Stewart. So you're not paying for Patrick Stewart not using him, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. Actually, when I think about that, how much money did Patrick Stewart ask for to voice the CIA director in American Dad? And, like, they used him a lot, but not all the time, so... You know, like, what kind of payday was he looking at there?
Maybe he's just an ultra dude. He likes to work. For God's sake, he wanted to be Captain Picard again.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that put him on the map, isn't it? Arguably.
Technically, if you want to say that, he also was in Dune, was put him on the map a long time before that, but yes. Star Trek Next Generation, Engage, really put him on the map.
Luke Picard. Isn't that a French name? But why does he sound British? Because reasons. Because reasons.
Yes.
But anyway, so yeah, and shout out, kudos to Patrick Stewart, because he also voiced Professor X in, I believe, X-Men Legends 1 and 2.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that was really great of him to do that. So anyways, I liked the episode because he got to see a lot of Professor X. And we got to see Gladiator just being an unstoppable, you know, Superman clone. Well, and that not actually, of course, like, they're different universes, but, you know, their power sets are pretty similar. And, you know, it was clearly a reference to Superman in his creation. So I just enjoyed the episode and the dynamics between Lilandra and Professor X.
What I enjoy about them reintroducing characters, they made Professor X so effective in this one. Like, hey, he said they were fighting because they're Lilandra's sister,
Deathbird
wants to be in control, and Deathbird was trying to put like some type of ancient Shi'ar, like invoke of a game where you have to where they wanted Charles Xavier to forget everything of who he is. Well, if you forget who you are, then you're not Charles Xavier. And there was a big fight, and then Charles Xavier said, enough! Wait a second. I'm the most powerful psychic in the universe. And he just took control. Said, hey, look, this is what it's all about. You guys need to kind of do some soul searching. And la-da-da-da-da. And, but then when they were on the astral plane, Gambit, he got a premonition or something that Gambit is dead.
It's not a premonition if it's already done.
I mean, it happened. So it was like, whoa. Whoa, and he said, I gotta go back to Earth. So, Professor X is coming back to Earth. Amazing. So, fantastic episode. Love it. Keep it coming. Thank you, Bodemile. Thank you, other S-Men staff members. Really appreciate you guys.
Now he mentioned that they were dancing and having fun. So, as we're mulling that over, it's like, so he's got tabs on them somehow. Some way,
yes. It appears from the last scene that Mr. Sinister is the one that's pulling the string. Maybe.
Yes. So it, not Cassandra Nova. So they won't do that zaniness. So it appears that Mr. Sinister is going to be the Blofeld here, the architect of all the woe.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to the next few episodes. This is going to be great. Make Myers marble. And,
And fun fact, if you go back and watch the Genosha episode, episode 5, you can see the outline of the Watcher, because of, and the Watcher only shows up when bad things are going down.
So. Yes, this is a Nexus event, so, this is great. So, definitely continue to watch the X-Men. Thank you. Make Myers marble, make ours marble, and, thank you for listening, everyone.